begin with developing news and the new dilemma facing Canadians who received an AstraZeneca vaccine. The National Advisory Committee on Immunization now recommending a different dose for shot number two. Good evening. The guidance to switch to either Pfizer or Moderna.
NACI is citing emerging evidence around immune response, while also reassuring those already with two doses of AstraZeneca they are protected. CTV's Zoraida Allman joins us live in studio with the details. Zoraida.
Nathan and Michelle, those on the vaccine advisory table are reminding Canadians that the guidance on vaccines is ever evolving. And in this case, Canada's top doctor says the newest studies, mostly from Germany, show a mixed dose schedule for those who received AstraZeneca as a first dose is the preferred choice.
It's a decision that has been weighing on the minds of many who received AstraZeneca as their first vaccine dose. Which vaccine to get for their second shot? Late this afternoon, the National Advisory Committee on Immunization came out with an official recommendation.
An mRNA vaccine should now be offered as the second dose for individuals who received a first dose of AstraZeneca Covishield vaccine.
The change, the committee says, is based on emerging evidence that shows a better immune response from getting an mRNA vaccine as a second dose and to mitigate the risks of developing a rare blood clot associated with AstraZeneca. The news comes on the same day that Canadians learned those who received AstraZeneca would not be allowed into Bruce Springsteen's Broadway show in New York City, as AstraZeneca has not been approved for use in the U.S. A glimpse, perhaps, into the future as more people look to travel.
I see this as indicative of what vaccine passports are. Even though people aren't calling this vaccine passports, they really are. Who can come in and who can't?
Without global coordination on vaccine approvals, this bioethicist says the restrictions we're seeing out of New York may just be the beginning.
If we were to look at this, the big picture globally, vaccines are going out all over the world. Some of them are the Russian Sputnik, some of them are Chinese. And we have no idea, no standard as to how we're going to deal with all these different types of vaccines. And it could create a lot of tension.
So where does that leave people who've already received two doses of AstraZeneca? Well, Dr. Theresa Tam says you are still protected.
Those who've received two doses of AstraZeneca Covishield vaccine, you've been provided with good protection against infection. But more importantly, AstraZeneca vaccine provides good protection against severe illness and hospitalizations.
More than 2 million Canadians have received AstraZeneca as a first dose. And we learned today Canada still has about 600,000 unused doses of AZ. The head of the country's vaccine rollout said today that it will be up to the provinces to decide how to use them. I'm Zoraida Allman. Nathan and Michelle, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Zoraida. This change in guidance comes as more Ontarians become eligible to book their second vaccine shot.
Once again, hotspots are the focus of this next stage in the rollout. CTV's Natalie Johnson is live outside a pop-up clinic in Leslieville tonight with more. Natalie.
Hi, Michelle. Well, not only is the province focusing on existing Delta hotspots, it is also designating three more regions as high risk, including one in the GTA. And as of next week, more people will become eligible to book an accelerated second dose. It just depends on when you got your first shot.
The long line lesson of the week has been get there early to get a number.
Got here around 5:30. I got number 340 or so.
We're number 400.
We got here at 6:30 in the morning and have been waiting since, and we're just at the cutoffs.
Torontonians who didn't have any luck with getting an appointment anytime soon, willing to put in the time for a sooner second shot.
I couldn't end up booking until I think it was July or August, so I figured I might as well just try pop-up.
But more Ontarians will soon become eligible to book an accelerated second dose. Beginning Wednesday, June 23rd, if you received an mRNA shot on or before May 30th and you live in a Delta hotspot region, you can move up your booster shot. The hotspot regions are Halton, Peel, Porcupine, Toronto, Waterloo, Wellington, Dufferin, Guelph, York, and now also include Hamilton, Simcoe Muskoka, and Durham. In addition, any Ontarian not in a hotspot region but who received their first dose of an mRNA shot on or before May 9th can book their second shot starting Monday.
COVID-19 vaccines work and are our best defense against the virus and variants, including the Delta variant.
And with an influx of Moderna, officials say that clinics will be mixing and matching it with Pfizer for people 18 and older. Ontarians booking their second shot may only find out which one they're getting when they arrive at the clinic.
Moderna and Pfizer are both messenger RNA vaccines. They are interchangeable, and the efficacy is within data points.
Meanwhile, at the pop-up, the majority of the 2,000 available doses were spoken for, even before the line began to move.
Drove like an hour to come here, so I think we're just going to stay and try to get a vaccine. I mean, I already paid $10 for parking, so we're going to at least try, right?
Many saying, parking costs aside, they can't put a price on that second shot.
Now, as for when everyone else can start booking their second shot, that's if you don't meet that first dose date requirement. The province says that everyone else can start booking beginning the week of June 28th. That is if you are 18 or older in Ontario and you got Pfizer or Moderna as your first shot. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Michelle, over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. And the province is nearing the 12 million mark for total shots in arms after a record 210,000 were administered on Wednesday. More than 38,000 people received a first dose, and now 9.5 million residents are at least partially vaccinated. The majority, though, of vaccines given yesterday were second doses, 172,000, meaning 2.3 million Ontarians are now fully vaccinated.
And as the vaccines keep flowing, Ontario's reopening timeline is under the microscope. The factors medical experts say need to be considered before any possible acceleration. That's straight ahead.
Turning first to the courts and a warning about some of the disturbing details and footage in this story.
Video appearing to show a Toronto police officer holding a man by the neck during an arrest on a TTC bus. That officer charged with assault. CTV's Beth McDonnell is live outside Old City Hall with more. Beth.
Nathan, in court today, we heard from the victim in this case for the first time, Chase Richards. We also saw a video of the arrest for the first time, too.
This is security video taken on board a TTC bus in December 2019. You can see Chase Richards and two plainclothes Toronto police officers. The man on trial for assault is Detective Christopher Hutchings, wearing the plaid jacket, now suspended from the force with pay. We can't hear the audio, but just moments after the officers board the bus, there is a brief conversation, then this. The officer's hand appears to stay around Richard's throat for at least 30 seconds. He's then taken to the ground and put in handcuffs. Hutchings keeps his knee on Richard's back for about a minute. In court today, Richard said one of the officers who got on the bus spoke first. Is this the expletive that's causing the problem? I replied, I'm not an expletive because I paid my fare. After I said that, one of the gentlemen that came on grabbed me by the throat, physically threw me in the corner in the seat. After he wrestled me to the ground, basically tackled me to the ground. In a statement to CTV News, Toronto Police said, officers are trained to use proportionate use of force needed to gain control of a situation safely and without injury during dynamic situations. The service does not teach neck restraint or chokeholds as a standard. Richards also spoke in court about what led to the officers showing up. He said he boarded at the back of the bus and told the driver he paid his fare with a Presto card. Richard says the driver told him he didn't want to drive him because he smelled of cigarettes. Richard said he tapped his Presto card again to show passengers he paid before the driver announced the bus was going out of service. Passengers got off the bus, but Richard says he decided to stay because he didn't want to be accused of cheating and thought TTC constables were on the way. But then it was police officers who showed up. When asked why he thinks that happened, Richard said, maybe it's racism, I'm not sure. When the Crown pressed further, asking why he said racism, Richards explained, because I don't think if it was a young white male entered on at the back of the bus that he would have had to go through all that ordeal. The second plainclothes officer, Detective Jason Tenoy, is also charged in the incident. He is set to stand trial next year. Hutchings has been suspended from Toronto Police with pay. Tenoy has not been suspended. Reporting live from Old City Hall, I'm Beth McDonnell.
Thank you, Beth. Also tonight, the moment of relief inside a Toronto hospital, a milestone in its fight against COVID-19, but why doctors say it's still too early to let our guard down.
Let's check on the current weather conditions, and we welcome Michelle Jobin. Michelle, you'll be joining us throughout the summer. Welcome aboard on this almost perfect day.
It really is a perfect day, Nathan. I'm very happy to be bringing news of wonderful weather today, although there is a bit of a change on the way for tomorrow. Of course, abundant sunshine today, and I hope you got a chance to enjoy it. We are looking at relatively clear skies on our satellite and radar imagery. That'll change as we get into tomorrow. We're also going to see the advance of some more humidity into the forecast. And part of what's ushering that in is these winds out of the south. At sometimes they're pretty gusty, up to around 35 kilometers an hour right now at Pearson Airport. That's helping to bring in that feeling of humidity that will stay with us through the next few days. Right now, feeling like this around the regions, reached a high of 26 degrees around 3 o'clock in the Toronto area. And currently on the island, 21 degrees. If you were near the lakeshore today, anywhere near the lower Great Lakes, a little breezier because of those southerly winds, a little cooler. 24 at Pearson, overnight tonight, 17 degrees, which is a little warmer than last night and just a bit above seasonal. But I'll take a look at what's happening in your 7-day forecast coming up in the beginning of summer. Back to you, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle. Next to the search for a suspect accused of deliberately setting a fire at a Mississauga business. It happened early on the morning of March 28th near Huron, Terrio and Dundas. Police say an accelerant was thrown at the business and caused an explosion, damaging the unit and the ones beside it. This video has now been released to the suspect, and investigators are still looking for more potential footage.
And take a look at this. Police in Durham region are sharing this surveillance video of a car being broken into on an Ajax driveway. This happened just after 3 in the morning yesterday near Pickering Beach Road and Bailey Street.
A man is dead after a serious collision this morning in Uxbridge. It happened just before 10 a.m. on Ashworth Road, east of Concession Road 6. Durham police say a pickup truck was driving eastbound and crashed into a water truck that was parked on the road. The driver of the pickup was taken out of the vehicle and it soon caught fire, but then was put out. Paramedics tried to revive the man, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. The driver of the water truck was shaken but unhurt. An investigation into the cause of this crash is underway.
Returning to our COVID coverage and the debate around Ontario's reopening timeline.
As we mark milestones in our recovery, questions are turning to the timeline of easing more restrictions. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
A day or two, Michelle. That's what Dr. David Williams said today when asked whether step two could be fast-tracked. The chief medical officer of health saying our numbers are improving, but it's not enough to speed up the next step.
The calls from the medical community are growing louder. The province, they say, has a growing level of immunity and a declining burden from COVID-19, meaning the next step of the economic recovery could be moved up.
Those dates should not be set in stone. There should be some flexibility with those dates, and we have to be able to pivot.
The province is 2 weeks away from entering the second step when personal care services can resume, along with shopping malls and larger gatherings. But can the next step be fast-tracked, just like the first step was? The premier suggesting that it's a possibility.
There's no one wants to open this economy more than I do. I just want to make sure we do it cautiously. I want to get the stamp of approval from all the docs. And we're going to be well on our way.
The premier says he's going to raise the issue with the chief medical officer of health, who today indicated that the pandemic numbers in Ontario are still too high.
We're going to have to move the yardsticks even further to get to step two. And I'm confident if we stay what we're doing, if the vaccine rollout is going the way it is, we will get there as we predicted by the timelines we put forward.
Dr. David Williams says at best, the second stage could be moved up by a day or two. Internally, PC party sources say the government is terrified of the damage that the Delta variant could cause and doesn't want to jeopardize the reopening plan. But there is some confidence among those at the cabinet table that the third and final step could be sped up instead. Dr. Williams is less optimistic, pointing to the COVID-19 outbreaks in several regions as the danger of moving too quickly.
At least we can see when we look at the map, there's an end to the journey in sight. And let's make sure we get there safely rather than doing something careless or reckless along the way. So we want to make sure we're careful as we go forward.
Meaning any changes to the reopening roadmap could be measured in days, not weeks.
The government wants to have at least 21 days between each step. So step two could start on the 2nd of July. Step three slated to begin July 23rd. There is very little that's changing between now and then, except for one major thing. The current chief medical officer of health is resigning at the end of this month. He's retiring, and a new chief medical officer of health will be taking over, which means that there could be some changes depending on the direction of the new chief medical officer of health. Reporting live at Queen's Park, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Colin. For the second day in a row, the COVID-19 case count is hovering below the 400 mark. 370 infections were confirmed over the last day. That brings Ontario's total number of cases since the start of the pandemic to 541,000. 635 more illnesses are considered resolved, bringing that count to well over 527,000. Seven more deaths are linked to the virus, as that figure reaches 8,993.
Here's a look at the regions with the most cases. 67 infections were confirmed here in Toronto and 57 in Waterloo Region. Health officials confirmed 47 cases in Peel, 34 in Ottawa, 27 in York Region. Porcupine and Middlesex London were both tied with 17 cases each.
There's increased urgency in Waterloo Region to bring case numbers down as it sees more cases than almost anywhere else in the province. Public Health says the Delta variant is likely to blame, as the region reports dozens of new cases on a daily basis. The province says it's in close contact with local officials and offering staff additional vaccines. But the local medical officer of health says it's clear that one group in particular is seeing the most cases.
We are seeing it mostly amongst those who have not been immunized yet. 83% of our cases have not been immunized. And then if they are often with others, in close contact with others, such as family or friends, and these groups are also not mostly not immunized, then we've seen it spread very quickly in those circumstances.
Waterloo Region is already designated a Delta hotspot. Officials have suggested more restrictions could be put in place to bring the case count down.
Not everyone can leave their home to get a COVID shot, and the City of Toronto has announced a new push to vaccinate homebound residents. Eligibility for an in-home vaccination is offered to anyone age 12 and up who can't go out for a vaccine. So far, more than 7,000 first doses have been administered to those residents and many essential caregivers. The city has set a goal for all second doses to be administered in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
And Peel Region has announced a partnership with Uber to help residents get to their vaccine appointments. The rideshare company is offering 1,500 two-way free trips to clinic sites. Vouchers will be distributed through community agencies to those with transportation barriers. Peel Region's TransHelp service is also offering free travel to vaccine clinics.
Next to a small but significant sign of progress in a Toronto hospital.
Its medical surgical ICU is now COVID-free, but the impact of the virus is still being felt. CTV's John Musselman is live outside Toronto General with more. John.
Well, Nathan, you're right. It was a small celebration to mark a milestone. But as we've learned today, there are still many sick people with COVID in area hospitals, including a new COVID outbreak at Toronto Western Hospital. Staff on the medical surgical intensive care unit at Toronto General posted this video on social media. The unit has zero COVID-19 patients for the first time in more than 14 months.
Thank you for your hard work. I feel like I'm going to cry now. Our first COVID case was March 26, 2020, and today we are COVID-free.
Still, hospital officials want to make it clear the ICUs are not in the clear yet.
Unfortunately, for many, that was interpreted that UHN has no positive COVID patients, which is incorrect. We continue to have approximately 100 patients who remain with us because of COVID. Luckily, fewer and fewer are in our ICUs.
Dr. Kevin Smith, the president and CEO of the University Health Network, tells CTV News that staff at Toronto Western are now dealing with a new COVID outbreak.
It's a neuro area. It's a very busy unit. And so today, obviously, our infection control practitioners are looking carefully at who are those. I believe we have 5 positive cases.
Smith says contract tracing is now underway to determine what happened at Toronto Western. He adds the Delta variant remains a concern, but vaccines are working, and he believes the ICU numbers will continue to come down.
It's such a major milestone, and I think when we look across the province, you're going to see more and more of this as cases continue to decline.
Meanwhile, Mississauga Mayor Bonnie Crombie says the city is seeing the lowest COVID numbers since last fall.
Trillium now has 20 COVID positive patients, 5 in the ICU, and another 47 suspected cases. That's the lowest number of COVID inpatients at the hospital since November.
Crombie says 75% of Peel residents have received at least one dose, and 15% of Peel residents 18 and older are now fully vaccinated with two doses.
And back at Toronto General, Dr. Kevin Smith said it's still imperative everybody get fully vaccinated with two doses and to keep wearing those masks. Reporting live, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
All right, thank you, John. There's a new potential complication from COVID-19 vaccines that has not received much attention so far.
Tomorrow, the CDC is meeting to discuss a possible link between a very rare heart condition and mRNA vaccines. CTV's Avis Favreau reports.
The condition is called myocarditis, an inflammation of the heart. It can happen after COVID-19 or other viral infections, but doctors are now investigating cases after mRNA vaccination, usually after a second dose. 18-year-old Isaiah Harris got his second Pfizer shot in April. He developed fever and severe chest pain.
It felt like my heart was just like beating out of my chest. Every time it would beat, it just hurt so bad. It was honestly the worst pain I've ever felt.
There are reports from the U.S., Italy, and Israel of heart inflammation happening post-vaccine in adults and teens. Doctors in Canada say they're now seeing cases too.
It may be that once we've done proper investigations and looked at it, that we'll discover it's very, very rare. But we don't know yet. And so for me, the single most important question is knowing exactly what the true risk is so we can actually tell people and they can make an informed decision.
Shirley Graves developed burning chest pain, diagnosed with myocarditis, and she says it happened a day after her first Pfizer shot. She now plans to get AstraZeneca as her second shot, but wants patients and doctors to be aware.
I don't think the medical community had this on their radar as general knowledge.
A cause and effect has not been established, but Canadian doctors are urging vigilance.
Both patients as well as health providers should be aware of this complication so that when it does arise, that is not ignored, and so that the patient can get the proper monitoring, the support.
Doctors stress that the vast majority of patients do recover and that vaccination remains the best way of protecting against COVID-19. Avis Favreau, CTV News, Toronto.
For the first time, a person of color will likely sit on Canada's Supreme Court.
Ontario's appeals court judge Mahmoud Jamal was nominated today.
He represents many demographic groups, and he represents the very, very best of the legal profession. And I am so, so pleased with his appointment today.
Jamal was born in Kenya, went to high school in Edmonton, and studied at the University of Toronto. He's also taught at Osgoode Hall Law School here in the city. If confirmed, Jamal will replace Judge Rosalie Abella, who is retiring.
Annamie Paul is responding again today amid attempts from within to remove her as leader of the Federal Green Party.
There is this nefarious list of allegations against me. It is publicly available, and people can take a look at it and judge for themselves whether there are racist and sexist tropes within that document. I'm going to point out again that as soon as our MPs read the document, they were so appalled by it that they both denounced it immediately as inflammatory, as offensive, as a violation of our standard of ethics.
The allegations against Paul from some party executives say she has acted with an autocratic attitude of hostility, superiority, and rejection. They also allege she's displayed anger at council meetings in long, aggressive monologues. Two more members of the party's federal council members have resigned. That potentially leaves Paul's fate in the hands of 13 others.
The price tag to renovate Parliament Centre block will be about $5 billion. Officials describe it as the largest and most complex heritage rehabilitation in Canadian history. The renovation includes the removal of hazardous materials and modernizing the 94-year-old building so it's more energy efficient, accessible, and secure. The work will continue until at least 2030.
In the U.S., Juneteenth will join Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Independence Day as a federally recognized holiday.
We can't rest till the promise of equality is fulfilled for every one of us in every corner of this nation. That, to me, is the meaning of Juneteenth. That's what it's about.
As a national holiday, we have come far, and we have far to go. But today is a day of celebration. It is not only a day of pride, it is also a day for us to reaffirm and rededicate ourselves to action. And with that, I say, happy Juneteenth, everybody.
U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris joined U.S. President Joe Biden as he signed the Juneteenth bill into law during a White House ceremony this afternoon. The holiday will commemorate the end of the legal enslavement of African Americans. Federal employees will start taking the holiday off this year, observing it on Friday since Juneteenth falls on Saturday.
With just 5 weeks until the Tokyo Olympics, Japan's government is set to ease restrictions across the country.
COVID-19 cases are subsiding, but experts are warning lifting measures too quickly could result in a fifth wave. CTV's Grace Lee reports from Osaka.
Japan's decision to lift restrictions isn't a very popular one. This Tokyo woman says the restrictions are only being lifted for the Olympics. She calls it unreasonable. This local saying cases haven't gone down enough to warrant lifting restrictions. But Japan's government argues otherwise. Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga announced today the country's state of emergency will be lifted on Sunday for most major cities, including Tokyo. New rules mean bars and restaurants can now serve alcohol, but only until a certain time. The biggest change, though, major venues will be allowed to host up to 10,000 people, with hints today that may be the case for the Olympics, too. Japan's top medical advisor, however, took a rare stand against the government today, saying that hosting the games without spectators is the safest option. He's expected to submit a list of recommendations to the government tomorrow. Grace Lee, CTV News, Osaka.
Also tonight, separated by the pandemic, a Toronto couple is reunited for a milestone anniversary, celebrating 60 years of love.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, they've been one of the most popular purchases of the pandemic, headphones and earbuds. But when a North York man bought earbuds for his home office, he had a bad reaction to them and found others also developed skin and ear complications. We check it out. That story is just ahead.
A great day today, but we are looking at a change on the way in the next little while in terms of an increase in humidity and instability. We will see the risk of thunderstorms throughout the region and Humidex values in southwestern Ontario, especially getting into the mid-30s tomorrow. So a little less comfortable as we head into the weekend. There will be a return of sunshine, though, as we get into Saturday and into Sunday, which is the first day of summer, also Father's Day. It's looking quite nice for the longest day of the year, with sunset, of course, at 9:02 p.m. I'll have more info coming up in your full forecast.
With people working from home because of the pandemic, sales of home office equipment have surged. And that includes things like headphones and earbuds.
Some companies have issued new high-end wireless and noise-canceling models, but a North York man said a set he bought caused problems. Pat Foran explains on Consumer Alert today. Pat.
Thanks, Michelle and Nathan. The man bought the earbuds and says as soon as he tried them, he had itchiness and irritation, and after a while, he says they became too painful to use. A quick Google search found some other users around the world also had a bad reaction.
When many employees were forced to work from home, some electronics companies stepped up with new and better headphone and earbud technology. Earlier this year, Samsung released the Samsung Galaxy Buds Pro wireless noise-canceling earbuds. Johnny Chang of North York bought a pair for about $260, but he says when he started using them, something didn't feel right.
I start getting, itchiness with both ears.
Chang says he didn't wear them very often, but each time he did, the irritation got worse.
It turns out that one of the ears getting really red and hot, and a lot of liquid start to flow out from the inside of my ear.
That's when he went online and saw forums with other users who also had negative reactions after wearing the earbuds. He contacted Samsung to complain about the issue, but says no one ever got back to him.
The silicone part, I think, is this material that is causing people irritation.
CTV News reached out to Samsung, and a spokesperson told us, although rare, certain people experience a reaction to wearing earbuds. This can be as a result of allergies, wearing them for prolonged periods, exposure to sweat, skincare products, and other usage habits. Samsung said customers need to follow the care and cleaning instructions that come with earbuds. Consumer Reports has advised that cleaning headphones and earbuds is necessary after prolonged use. In Chang's case, he says he only used the Samsung earbuds several times. After we contacted Samsung, Chang was issued a full refund.
And some people may be more prone to irritation when using earbuds. If it happens to you, stop using them. And if you have headphones or earbuds, you may want to check the cleaning instructions. Cleaning can also help them sound better and last longer. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Canada's Wonderland is reopening soon, but tickets are already on sale as of today. The theme park opens for season's pass holders on July 5th and 6th, and the general public will be welcomed in once again on July 7th. Health and safety protocols, including mask rules, will be in place. Online bookings are mandatory, and anyone hoping to make one can now log on to Wonderland's website to secure a spot. And today would have been one of those days to venture out anywhere, just enjoy the outdoors, because these were just stellar conditions.
Yeah, and it's great to see Wonderland opening. Does your son like roller coasters?
He hasn't been yet, so this may be the summer. And yeah, it would have been an excellent day to do any outdoor activity today, because we had just absolutely spectacular conditions. Things are changing, but the weekend is not a total washout, so we'll get to that part of your forecast. Weather is brought to you by Train. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it's hard to stop a Train. So, a great day today. Temperatures are on the rise. Humidex values are on the rise as well as we get into the next few days. This is what things are looking like and feeling like around the region right now. Low humidity today. It was breezy, though. We had winds out of the south or southwest at times, especially if you were on the lakeshore along the lower Great Lakes. It might have felt a little cooler. Our forecast high, and we hit it in Toronto, was 26 degrees around 3 p.m. That's where we saw that. System moving in from the west and the south, that is causing some issues north of us in and around the Sudbury area, extending into northeastern Ontario, but clear skies for us for now. Here's how things are going to play out, though, as we get into the next little while. Here we go. This frontal system moving in, and as the fronts cross through, we get this building heat and humidity coming in from the south in between the fronts. That's going to help things feel into the mid-30s in some parts of the region tomorrow. It's also going to cause a fair bit of instability, because we have the possibility of thunderstorms and also widespread showers. So clouds building in as we get into the early morning hours. This is how it's going to look at around 9 a.m. We're going to see the possibility of showers, really Toronto up through Barrie into the Muskoka region, over towards Goderich and down around southwestern Ontario. We do see a relatively larger cell move through in and around Prince Edward County, over towards the Kingston area, Bancroft, over towards Ottawa. We could see some thunderstorms tomorrow in the afternoon. We'll have that heat and humidity feeding that instability and the potential of seeing some storms. A little bit of clearing overnight, and then as we get into Saturday, there's a possibility of seeing more thunderstorms. There we go, as they move through in and around the dinner area, and then again some clearing in time for the last day, or the first day of summer, which begins at around 11:30 on Sunday night, and it's also Father's Day. So tomorrow's highs like this around the region, as I mentioned, heat and humidity building in. It'll feel like 30 degrees if you're in Peterborough, 28 in Kingston, mid-30s in southwestern Ontario. For the 7-day forecast, like this, we do have that instability, those thunderstorms for tomorrow. It's 27, feeling like 34 in the GTA. Saturday and Sunday, pretty decent sunshine, though we could get some showers on Saturday. 28 for the high on Saturday. Father's Day, 28 for Sunday, and then more rain moving in, 28 for Monday, cooling down as we get into the middle of next week. That's a look at your forecast. Back to you, Nathan.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. Just ahead, the treat for Beatles fans. Details on a new documentary on the rock legends from a big-time director.
Forced apart by the pandemic, a Toronto couple is back together for a major milestone.
Celebrating 60 years of love. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
It's a reunion that was almost a year in the making, but Lillian and Domenico Battista were finally able to be together in time for their 60th anniversary.
So the first time ever being separated, of course, right? So for 60 years, that was difficult.
We tried to go sleeping.
And she wasn't there?
She's in a time.
Domenico, 87, and Lillian, 82, lived in their home together until July 2020 when he was hospitalized. Lillian, meanwhile, had just begun requiring peritoneal dialysis, a less common form of dialysis in which the patient's blood is cleansed within their abdomen.
In Villa Colombo, we had a couple of patients in hemodialysis, but this type of dialysis was fairly new in this facility. We didn't have any services for peritoneal dialysis.
So the two had to live in different long-term care homes. It's been a tough year for their daughter, Donna.
Always having to go do a COVID test. It was challenging all around for everybody.
But this month, Villa Colombo, where Domenico is now living, was able to arrange peritoneal dialysis services with Humber River Hospital. And the two longtime sweethearts were reunited in time for their anniversary celebration. Some fresh fruit and cake in the sunshine of the Villa Colombo garden. And what's Donna's wish for her parents now?
Oh, 60 more, yes.
Pauline Chan, CTV News.
A Collingwood family sharing their story after their newborn daughter was diagnosed with a rare liver condition. 9-month-old Sloan has already undergone surgery and is set to receive a liver transplant from her mom next week. Multi-platform writer Abby Neufeld has the details on the family's journey and the long road to recovery on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
The Stratford Festival provided an update today on its plans for this summer's season, with tickets still not on sale.
We're in a bit of a holding pattern as the provincial government examines the data and releases the finer details of its plan for the safe reopening of Ontario.
The festival says when that plan is released, it's bracing for the likelihood that permitted audience sizes will be much lower than its regular capacity. The theater company says it now plans to film all of its summer shows so anyone unable to attend in person can still take part.
Fans of WKRP in Cincinnati are mourning the loss of the actor who played one of the sitcom's most memorable characters.
Now, no offense, Bailey, but part of your job around here is writing commercials, but you don't do a very good job.
Frank Bonner has died due to complications from Lewy body dementia. He was 79. Bonner played Herb Tarlick, sales manager of the struggling radio station. The show ran from 1979 to 1982. Bonner's daughter says her father loved his fans and was still signing autographs up until the last few weeks of his illness.
Victoria's Secret has announced a notable shift in how it will market its products going forward. The lingerie company will no longer feature its so-called angels in its ads. Instead, it's created a group called the VS Collective of women with different backgrounds, each with their own list of achievements aimed at appealing to a broader audience. The group includes soccer star and activist Megan Rapinoe, refugee and model Adut Akech, and actor-producer Priyanka Chopra. Jonas.
Some exciting news for science fiction fans. An official premiere date's been set for the new Dune movie.
Do you often dream things that happen just as you dream them?
Yes.
Much power. You have proven you can rule yourself.
The Denis Villeneuve film was originally set to debut last November. It will now be screened for the first time this September at the Venice Film Festival. The movie stars Timothée Chalamet, Oscar Isaac, and Zendaya, just to name a few. And Dune wasn't the only major release date announced today.
And a long-awaited documentary about the Beatles has changed its debut plans. Director Peter Jackson has spent several years restoring and editing never-before-seen footage of the band. Instead of a theatrical release, The Beatles Get Back will now screen on Disney Plus starting in November. The three two-hour episodes follow John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr as they prepared for their famous rooftop performance back in 1969.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
an mRNA vaccine should now be offered as a second dose for individuals who received a first dose of AstraZeneca or Covishield vaccine.
Updating our top stories, the National Advisory Committee on Immunization is recommending mRNA vaccines as second doses for people who got a first shot of AstraZeneca. But here's something to know. People can still choose a second dose of AstraZeneca if they want.
COVID-19 vaccines work and are our best defense against the virus and variants, including the Delta variant.
The province is expanding second dose eligibility. More public health units have been declared Delta variant hotspots. Adults in those regions who received an mRNA vaccine on or before May 30th will be able to book a second dose starting next week.
We're going to have to move the yardsticks even further to get to step two. And I'm confident if we stay what we're doing, if the vaccine rollout is going the way it is, we will get there as we predicted by the timelines we put forward.
Ontario's top doctor says case numbers are still too high to consider reopening the province early. The premier says he will discuss that possibility following calls from some health experts and business owners.
And remember to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos, or video of breaking news, let us know. Now, as the province considers that timeline, many groups are watching closely.
And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We are joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. Reshmi, you're going to be hearing from a pregnant personal care worker who's worried she might not be able to go on maternity leave.
Yes, Michelle. Services Canada has told her that she doesn't have any EI saved up. She's used it throughout this pandemic because she hasn't been able to work. So you're going to hear her plight. And we also have a statement from the Trudeau government on this, as well as the NDP's Jagmeet Singh standing by to react to that live and discuss his efforts to continue pandemic benefits. We'll have that on CP24 tonight.
And Nick, you'll also be getting reaction to TikTok videos by personal support workers who appear to be mocking patients with dementia.
Openly mocking, and it's quite disturbing content. You know, they were putting it out on social media channels and sort of laughing and poking fun at the people they take care of in long-term care homes. We've got some guests coming on tonight, some people who have loved ones who live in long-term care homes, saying dementia and other situations people are dealing with in long-term care, it's just simply no laughing matter. So that's coming up as well on CP24 tonight.
All right, thank you, Nick and Reshmi. And don't forget, CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar lost almost 0.7 cents to close at 80.91 U.S. American benchmark oil slid $1.11 a barrel to close at 71.04. And the TSX Composite Index lost 87 points to close at 20,144.
One of the world's top tennis players is skipping Wimbledon and the Tokyo Olympics. Rafael Nadal says there isn't enough time to recuperate from the clay court season. The 35-year-old says his goal is to prolong his career and continue to do what makes him happy.
Another major name is also sitting out of Wimbledon. Naomi Osaka withdrew from the French Open, saying she needed a mental health break. But the 23-year-old star says she will compete at next month's Tokyo Games.
At the Euro tournament, there was a special moment during today's match between Denmark and Belgium. Play was halted for 10 minutes so the crowd could deliver this tribute to the Danish player who collapsed on the field last week. Thunderous applause for Christian Eriksen, who's recovering after suffering cardiac arrest. He's being fitted with an implantable device to monitor his heart rhythm. This was the first game for Denmark since Eriksen went down. They lost 2-1, and that puts Belgium into the round of 16.
Meanwhile, UEFA says it's bad for business. The administrative body for European soccer doesn't want to see any more players removing sponsor bottles during news conferences at Euro 2020. It started with Cristiano Ronaldo here moving a couple of Cokes out of view of cameras in favor of some water. UEFA has now reminded the teams to respect sponsors and the contributions they make to European soccer.
After the break, encouraging people to wear plaid ahead of Father's Day. We've got more on the Plaid for Dad campaign in Toronto Together. Now to Toronto Together, where the Canadian Cancer Society wants to see people decked out in plaid.
The Plaid for Dad campaign is raising money for prostate cancer research and treatment.
That's what Plaid for Dad is about raising awareness about the importance of early detection.
you know, a lot of men just don't like to talk about their health, don't like to go to the doctor. And those outcomes are improving. One of them is in diagnosis. You know, there's a simple blood test today. You can talk to your doctor to see if that makes sense for you.
People are encouraged to head into work in their best plaid outfit and share a picture online with the hashtag #PlaidForDad. Funds raised by this initiative will support several Canadian Cancer Society programs.
Funds raised through #PlaidForDad go to prostate cancer research and support our peer support programs, such as our online peer support community, Cancer Connection. So through Cancer Connection, those individuals facing prostate cancer and their families can connect with others sharing a similar journey, share their experience, and build connection.
Those interested in taking part can register at plaidfordad.ca.
You know, I think plaid looks good.
I feel like we've all got a little plaid in the closet.
We all do. And I think the forecast looks good too, Michelle.
It does, Nathan. I mean, we do have a great weekend on the way. We do, however, have a little instability before we get to the weekend and to start it off. 17 degrees overnight tonight, mostly clear conditions, a little bit of cloud building in as we get closer to the early morning hours. Tomorrow, chance of showers starting in the morning with a risk of thunderstorms on and off throughout the day and building heat and humidity. So we'll feel like 34 degrees in Toronto, even more humid for those of us in southwestern Ontario. The 7-day forecast is looking like this. We are seeing, of course, that building heat and humidity lasting through the weekend. A nice day for Father's Day, lots of sunshine, still a little unsettled for Saturday, cooler as we get into the middle of next week. That's a look at your 7-day forecast. Back to you.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Reshmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Night.